Let's please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, where we left off last week. In our study last week, we emphasized the visiting of the Queen of Sheba to hear the wisdom of Solomon. I mentioned that extra biblical history has it that the Queen of Sheba was seduced by Solomon and had a son as a result. And that's going to factor in again a little bit today on why the legend goes on to say that some priests and the Ark of the Covenant went down to Ethiopia. Queen of Sheba was queen of Ethiopia, it's believed, and why an ark was taken. We're going to see why that could be quite feasible if the legend is true. And so then today's study is just looking at God basically tells Solomon, because you have turned away from me, then I am going to tear the kingdom out of your hand. I told your promise to your father that as long as your descendants obey the law of God, then they will sit as ruler over the united kingdom of Israel. And now, because you have not, then I am going to rip the kingdom apart. And we're going to see how he does this. And this really plays into today. As I continue to watch articles and counter articles about what has happened to America and what's the solution because of the political situation of Obama being reelected and just the sweeping evil and all these other things, and what should we as Christians do? The answer is found in 1 Kings. It's what is it that really leads to God pulling the protection away from a country? And it says, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love, and I emphasized last week, really clung to them in lust. And it's so obvious that lust and immorality is the tactic of Satan to destroy men and to destroy a country. That is what happened in Solomon's day. It is what is happening today. Verse 3, and he had 700 wives, princesses, because those wives are basically princesses, fighting for the throne as queens, ultimately. And 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Now, David had his hiccups, obviously, with, Bathsheba and committing murder and other things like that, numbering the people at the end. But his heart was so quick to repent and turn back. And he fought the fight until the end. What did Solomon do? It says right here that as he became weary, his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. So let's turn to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Because, and I've never even thought about using this as a parallel passage, just the Lord kind of put it on my mind as a parallel passage about why does this happen? Why did he grow weary in standing against these influences? And because it was late in his life, it says, and his wives turned away his heart when he was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and he was not loyal. So, in other words, he probably at the beginning goes, hey, I have my reasons for marrying these foreign wives because it causes, they're probably in the royal line of these surrounding nations. And so their fathers are going to be sending the tribute to my country without a fight. I don't have to man the armies. I can use the wealth to build things here in Israel. And, the fact that they worship those other gods, that's not such a big deal. I just won't let it affect me. I can let certain stuff into my house. I won't go, some bad influences of immorality in what my wife and I watch and what I allow to be said and what I listen to in music. And I can let that in. I won't go the whole way of turning against God. And what the Bible makes very clear is that attitude will not work. It'll wear you down over time. Just slowly, day by day, you'll lose your conviction. And towards the end of Solomon's life, he's done fighting. Because, you know, anybody, put two wrestlers, you know, wrestle till you die. No, we're going to wrestle until we're tired and then we're going to stop. We don't want to wrestle till we die. But what does God tell us to do? We're supposed to wrestle against the devil till we die. And he says every day is going to be a wrestling match with your flesh, with the devil, with the world system. And you know, it just gets tiring. And some people just, they say, I want to just make a truce with the world. I want to make a truce with my flesh. I want to make a truce with the devil. And I've seen it happen many times. I've experienced it in certain ways in my own life. And we don't always fight all the lusts of the flesh. For Luke 18, verse 1, it says, then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Now, see what Jesus is saying. There's a judge. He cares nothing about this widow who says, I'm a widow, and this man mistreated me, or this woman mistreated me, and the law of God tells me to go to the priest, to the judge, and you're supposed to rule in my favor because I'm a widow. The widows and the orphans are supposed to be protected by the class. But this man had no fear of God. But she keeps coming. And Jesus says, he's going to finally say, I'm going to give in just so that she doesn't wear me out. Now, the doubt, you know, I'm just saying this is a good example. What Jesus is realizing is even a judge, he will rule the other way than what he thinks because he just is done fighting. And you know what? If we can become wearied and say, okay, I give up. My children just, every time we go to the store, we're going to get a DVD, going to get a DVD. Oh, Dad, I want that one. Oh, well, it's R-rated and it's violent, uses the Lord's name in vain, has a little bit of, you know, subtle nudity. So, well, but why not? That's what the kid wants. I've been saying no forever, and so now I'm going to let it in. Man, you just got trashed. Your family got trashed. Because the devils were right behind. You didn't see them, but when you open the door and you start to stick that in your DVD, the devils were crawling into your house. And they were sucking the brains out of your kids. They're sitting there on the couch saying things, yeah, you know, this is what your dad's been keeping you from, and blah, blah, blah. And now you can start asking the kids at school and see that all kinds of spiritual things are happening as soon as we give up the fight. And what we should be saying to the children is no. Because we fear God in this family. Because God has warned us of the immorality that's in these things can affect us. And it's like letting idols into our house. And these idols will ultimately wear us down and we'll lose the protection of God. And we will be destroyed as a family. And we don't want to be destroyed. We want your minds to be pure. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And now, you know, that kind of turns to the good side, because really, she is a widow. The guy does not care. She is supposed to be ministered to by the legal system. And then God is saying, you know what? My children down here on earth are praying, God, why is homosexuality being allowed to flourish in our state? Why do our children? I was talking with an attorney yesterday because she had written a letter telling it to all the pastors in the area saying, you better get on board with this because this is going to affect, you are going to have to fill out a license that no longer says bride and groom. This isn't what the letter said, but she told me this yesterday. They're changing all the licenses. It's going to be partner one, partner two, or something like that. It's going to be what? It's going to be person A, person B. Spouse A, spouse B. No longer bride and groom. And so the letter was saying, how are you going to even be able to participate in this pagan system? And so I kept the letter. And I said, you know, I'm feeling like this law is going to pass. And I wonder what she says. Is there some other option? What can we do? And so I called her up and I said, what did you imply by that? I mean, is there some, can we use a Russian wedding certificate form? What is my options? And she goes, well, I don't know. But I was just asking, what are you guys going to do? You got to get on board with this. Well, obviously now it's water under the bridge. We lost. And I said, well, if that's what they're going to do is change the forms, which makes sense. That's what they do. I'm going to just cross it out. I'm going to put bride and I'm going to put groom. And then I might get sent to jail for defacing a government form or something. But, that's what I plan to do. She's going to go talk to some people and find out if that's doable and whatever. And so it's just, God, help us. This place is falling apart. And isn't that comforting that Jesus says that in the same way an unjust judge will ultimately rule in her favor? How about a just judge who hears every day the prayers of his saints about this ungodly place and the justice that we want to see? He says, it's going to happen, but when it happens, will I even find a single faithful Christian on earth? I mean, it's when he says, God will avenge, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What does that mean? I think it's, will anybody even be crying out to me for justice? Will there be anybody that really still holds the line and has faith in me? Some other verses that are related to this, letting evil, thinking you can compromise with evil. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Solomon had 1,000 or however many of them were pagan wives. He had, hundreds of pagan wives and concubines. I can be surrounded with evil company and not get affected? No, that's not what the Bible says. Evil company corrupts good character. It happens to us too if we keep company with evil character. Same thing, Proverbs 6, we recently went through Proverbs, and it says, can you hold fire in your bosom and not get burned? Can one walk on hot coals and not get his feet seared? No. And so is a man who goes off with an immoral woman. That's Proverbs. That's Solomon. Solomon knew. He knew better, obviously, because he wrote the Proverbs. He had all the head knowledge to know, but he thought the wisest man in the earth could handle the problem. You guys and girls, we cannot handle playing with sin. That's the moral of the story. We cannot handle playing with sin. So we shouldn't. Back to 1 Kings 11:4. So it was when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, sex goddess of the Lebanese, and after Milcom, which is also referred to as Molech, child sacrifice god, an abomination of the Ammonites. Ammon, where Ammon, Jordan, comes from, the Jordanians, Ammonites. So these were the sex gods of the surrounding nations, and that's what got Solomon, and it's what's getting America. And, what he did in allowing these women to influence the city of Jerusalem, because they said, Solomon, see that hill right over there? Could you please build me an Ashtoreth pole over there? And could you please build me the god Molech over there on that hill and this hill and that hill? And all of a sudden, Israel's just filled with stores of idolatry. And Solomon did it. And I'd encourage you in your free time to, as a follow-up to the study, read 2 Kings 23. Okay, so all of 1 Kings, all of 2 Kings, all of the horrors that happened to Judah and to Israel as a result of idolatry continues until Josiah. And then Josiah finds the Word of God in the temple, and he reads it, and he falls down, he just rips his clothes. We have so violated the Word of God. And then he instructed the priests, I want all the statues of Molech and Ashtoreth and everything out of the temple, and I'm going to burn them all in the Kidron River and Valley. We're going to completely clean house. He was the most repentant, acting upon the Word of God, king that Israel ever had. Even more than Hezekiah. And he got rid of the ritual booze of the perverted persons. Guess what that meant? He got rid of the homosexual booze that were surrounding, because wherever you have the elevation of sexual immorality and the sex gods, idols being elevated, then homosexuality sweeps in and takes over, and that's what's happened in our culture. And so what we would have to do to turn this around, it's not to try and lift up more conservative people to vote, because nobody wants more conservative people. People want more of the Ashtoreths and the Molechs. We have to convince them, you are worshiping gods and of immorality that will destroy you, your family, and this country. You need to repent. Well, it won't work to tell people to repent. Well, go watch the video by Ray Comfort, Living Waters, called Genius. And watch how many people just in his time, I don't know how many hours he spent out there shooting film, but he took people from totally pagan beliefs to, are you concerned about the fact that you might go to hell now that you judge yourself by the law of God? Yes, I am concerned. How concerned are you? I want to do something about it right now. Right now. So people were being changed. But why? Why isn't that happening more? Because the that's where the church has missed it. People say it's because of the church. We haven't voted for enough Republicans. No, it's because the church is not out there telling people you are sinning against an almighty God and you're going to answer to him someday. You are not doing the Ten Commandments. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. You have violated the law of God, and on Judgment Day, you're going to stand before him. And what are you going to say? And then for it to get into their heart, you see people's hearts being reached with the message that the church was commanded to preach by Jesus when he left us down here on planet Earth to do his will 2,000 years ago. And because it hasn't happened, then we're in the dilemma that we're in now. And it just convicts me to do it more myself. I mean, I could do it a whole lot more than I do. I do more than others, but I still could do a whole lot more. And so that's what they were doing. It's easy to get. And so in other words, Solomon brought idolatry into the nation because of his wives, and it's a lot easier to get it in than it is to get it out. And that's the same thing for our families. You get it into your family, you think you had a problem telling your kids no before, wait until they've had a taste of it. And then try and get it out of them. It's so much easier to just say no, 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 no. And why? Why? Because daddy told you, because mommy told you, because we don't do that, because Pastor Kevin says don't. You know, he might come over and see us, or, you know. No, it's because God sees what we're doing. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, also Jordanian, on the hill that is in the east of Jerusalem. And for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon, and just again, another name for Molech is the other name for Milcom. And so he built idols for both of those guys. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives. All the hills had all the different idols that everybody was worshiping who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. And now, going back to the extra biblical tradition, it's about this time later on in his life when his young son that was born to the Queen of Sheba is now older. And the tradition has that he goes to visit his father in Israel. So let's say it's 18, 20 years later. It's towards the end of his rule. He's already into his idolatry and is turning away from God. And it's Menelech, M-E-N-E-L-I-K-1, if you want to go research him, King Menelech the First from Ethiopia, he came and he was like, whoa, my mom, said Queen of Sheba, said, this is a great man of God protecting the nation of Israel and had brought such wealth and wisdom to the land, but he's worshiping all the gods of the nations around us. And the priests go, you notice that, huh? And you want to fear God? Well, here's the deal. We're sending the ark down with you because the prophets have already said that we're going down because of Solomon's rebellion against God. And so then the tradition has it that he and some priests took the Ark of the Covenant and they went down to Ethiopia. And they built a fake one for the temple, or they gave Menelech the fake one to take down to Ethiopia. They built a copy Ark of the Covenant, and the debate is about whether the real one went with them or the copy went down with them. But he wanted to fear God, and he says, man, this place is going down. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. He met with him the first time, 1 Kings chapter 3, when God told him in a vision, what do you want? He says, I want wisdom. Oh, you want wisdom? Well, I'll give you wisdom and wealth. And I, as long as you obey me and you don't go into idolatry, I will keep you on the throne. So that's the first time God himself appeared to him. And the second time, 1 Kings chapter 9, after dedicating the temple, God said the same thing to him. I will bless this place. I will keep you on the throne in your descendants as long as you worship me. And what God is saying, I got angry because I appeared to you twice and told you you could be blessed as long as you kept on obeying. And here you are, you've worshipped every god there is by the nations surrounding. And has God warned us? Yeah, God warned us a whole lot more times. I mean, we have Solomon's two warnings. We have, you know, we have Jeremiah and Isaiah and Zechariah. And we go, oh, if you want to read the Nehemiah and Ezra, those are great. I mean, you know, Ezra said, didn't you? We lost the temple. We lost Jerusalem because of the idolatry. And you guys are off marrying foreign women and worshiping idols. And he ripped their beards out. He just went up and just ripped, grabbed them by the face and ripped their beards out. We're not going down that road again. We have all that warning, too. Do we listen? You know, on my own heart, do we listen? Do we listen and protect our hearts from the things of this world? Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. It turns out that Jeroboam ends up taking the northern 10 tribes. He started out as a servant of David's, which we'll cover next week. So God, and does it look like God has free will he warns us. But then he says, but it's up to you what you're going to do. He didn't make Solomon obey. He didn't make Solomon disobey. He doesn't make me obey. He doesn't make me disobey. He knows what I'm going to do, but he wants me. It is his will that I would obey him. But he also knows what I'm going to do. And if I love him, he's going to still cause all things to work out together for good, but it is not a license. That verse is not a license for us to go do stupid stuff. And did it all work out did all things work out together for the Jewish nation, even though Solomon started worshiping idols all over Jerusalem? It worked out. God worked it out. He would have preferred for the history to have been different. He wants us to obey. And may God help us to obey. And because this is a wicked world, and I'd imagine Solomon today, he would have had thousands of wives because he could have ordered them all up on the internet. Oh, yeah, you're a cute chick over in Asia. You know, take the next plane over here and you can be my wife, too. I mean, it's so bad today. And there's so many men that are falling. There's so many families that are falling because of what is available in this decrepit culture and technology that we have today. And so it's going to take even more vigilance than what Solomon should have had in his life. But with the help of the Holy Spirit and the desire to serve God and to flee from fornication and flee from idolatry, as 1 John says, then we can be victorious. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we do pray that you'd help us to be set free from the temptations that come our way every day. by being fearfully convicted by your Spirit to realize that we shouldn't touch hot coals and we shouldn't think we could play with them with impunity, because there's a cost to be paid for frivolity and sin and for turning away from you. And we just pray that you would help us, God, to stay pure and holy in our walk on a day-to-day basis until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this closing song. Comes. Not much longer, I don't think. God bless you, and continue in your fellowship with Jesus together.